through life's journey.
Lord Jesus, we're grateful we can come here tonight. Father, as you've asked us to do, to gather together, Lord, we come according to your word. Lord, we come believing your word. We believe you'll be here. We believe you'll speak to us. Lord, so we come with open hearts, Lord, believing. Father, we ask that you would come then and meet the needs of each person here, Father. May each one of us hear your voice. Each one of us walk from here a stronger Christian than we are now, Lord. Whatever we have need of, if it's a chastening, if it's an encouraging, if it's a healing, whatever it can be, Lord, you know our needs. So I ask you to help me to step out of the way, just surrender, let you come and meet with us, Father. Pray for the ones who aren't here tonight that you would watch over them, meet their needs, Lord. Yes, this in your name. Amen. If you'd like to read where we're going to read from, we're going to read out of Romans 12, the same place we've been speaking on for a little while. Then we're also going to read out of 2 Corinthians. But let's start at Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I just want to focus on that, be not conformed to this world. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 11, I'm going to read several verses there. 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 12. And it says this, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You may have your seat if you'd like to. I guess I don't really have a title for this tonight. I didn't think of that, I guess. But I want to speak tonight on the thought of the difference. We are different. We are different than the world. We are different than regular, normal people. We are different than average message believers. We're just different. And we act different. And we look at them and they say, why do you do that? And they look at us and they say, why do you do that? And what makes us different, folks, is spiritually we are a different race of people. We are a different race. And all that means, we are a different race of people. You can tell a race of people by their characteristics. You can look at Caucasians, white people, and there are certain characteristics, physically speaking. You can look at Chinese, they have certain physical characteristics. You look at black people, they have different characteristics. Hispanic people, different characteristics. And so, of course, there's bleeding back and forth and all. But for the whole, you can look at this person and say, they're a black person, they're a white person. There's different characteristics, naturally. Well, when you're talking about spiritually, it's the same thing. Now, if you don't have spiritual eyes to recognize it, you don't recognize it. But if you do have spiritual eyes, you look at them and say, we're different. There's something different about us. Let me read you a quote real quick. I'm sure you know this.
Here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction brings forth of its kind. That means whatever the parents are, that's what you're going to bring forth. Dogs have puppies. Dogs don't have kittens. All right? These last days, the true church bride comes to the headstone will be the super church, a super race. As they near the headstone, there will be so much like him, even they will be in his very image in order to be united with him. If we want to be united with Christ, we have to be in the image of Christ, because he's going to marry someone who's the same as him, the same race, a super race. Jesus Christ was a super race. We have to be like him to be united with him. Isn't that amazing? As they near the headstone, the great headstone, there will be so much like him, even they will be in his very image in order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations can never produce this. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the word and bring a hybrid product. So why cannot they mix? Why cannot they bring forth? What makes the difference between us and everybody else in literally the whole world? I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about real believers. And the thing is, what makes you a super race is you had a different birth. It's that simple. This isn't complicated. Well, how do you become this? You just get born again. Because until you're born again, you're still the original race you came to earth as. I'm talking about spiritually. But when you are born again, now you're born into a different race spiritually, and now you are a born-again child of God. And that makes you different than everybody else. And that makes people not understand this, and they look at, well, you're weird, or why do you do this, or what's going on? Why does this have to be different? Why can't you just get along with everybody else? But you can't get along with everybody else. I'm talking about spiritually. You know why? Because Jesus couldn't get along with everybody else. People want to make Christianity some kind of, we accept everybody, we just love everybody. Go look at Jesus Christ. He accepted everybody as long as you come according to the word, but he's not going to sit there and lie to you and say, you know, you can come your own way, I'll save you anyways. Oh, no, he won't. He has a specific way, and it's different than everybody else. They came to him, they knew he was come from God. Nicodemus said, we know you're a rabbi sent from God. And yet he came in a different way than they wanted. It wasn't according to their taste. And so they rejected him anyways. But they still were Christians. They still claimed to be. They still claimed to be believers. Amen? Because they did not want to come the way that his provided way. And so what did he say to them? You're of your father, the devil. Isn't that amazing? And so what does Satan do? He knows all these people don't want to come the way of Christ. Why do we not want to come Christ's way? Don't say, I always did. No, you didn't. Your old flesh didn't. He still doesn't. Your flesh still doesn't want to be a Christian. It wants to be saved, but don't want to be a real Christian. And so Satan knows how to get us. He says, I will send you ministers that are going to scratch the itch that you want. I'm going to give you ministers that you can be a message believer and still not be born again. You don't have to be born again. You just have to believe this, and you have to believe this. And so what he does is he fills the message ranks with great anointed ministers. Some of the best preaching I've heard, folks, is from ministers who are not even born again. Amazing. And all they can do is preach to your second realm. They cannot preach to your soul, because here's the deal. I'm sorry, let me change it. They preach to your soul, but they don't bring it to birth, because what's in your soul, listen, if you're not born again, your soul is your old nature. It has to be born again. And until it is, the only thing in there is old human nature, a fallen nature. And the best it can do is produce a lukewarm religion. And they don't understand why you don't come and join them, because they're having a big time. And we over here and say, why do you stay in that when you can have Christ himself in you? They said, we do have Christ. We have anointings. We have supernatural things happening. Listen to this. Many people, when you speak of church, they have a funny idea. The world, when they pass by the church, and I mean the body of Christ gathered together, they think of our woman with some great long stringy hair, with black dresses and everything. They think of the men with long fingers dressed in black clothes and always condemning them. I remember when I worked here in Dixon, Jackson Academy, there would be some people that I was working with, and they would think about coming to church, and they actually visited a couple of times, and they were like, what do you guys do in church? Because they knew we were different. I said, we sacrifice goats. And they weren't sure if I was kidding or not. Yeah, they were. But the thing is, it wasn't so far up, because they're like, what do you guys, if we go to that church, you know, with your women, with your long hair and all that, you know, what kind of a weird place is this going to be? Are they going to, like, grab us or something? They think we're weird. Now let's just go ahead and bring it to message believers. They look at us, a lot of them who know what's going on, they think, why do you sit under that kind of ministry? Why do you listen to that kind of preaching? You don't need to. We don't. But it's different form. He says, dressed in black clothes, always condemning them to a good sense of the word. That's true. Because the church is a peculiar people, a called out people. We are different. And so he said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. And so when we look at all these other churches, the message churches, and we want to get along with them, that is being conformed to the world, because that is that old nature that's still in them. And because if you're not born again, that's the best you can do, is still have your old nature. There's only two. Either you're born again or you're not. He said the reason it looks at to the man who wants to judge the church in that condition is because the church is always pointing a condemning finger to everything that he thinks is good. Why do you have to talk about this ministry that way? Why do you have to point this out? Why do you have to be this way? Why can't you just get along with people? Everything they think is good. We have a good church. We have an anointed speakers. We have anointed singing. We have the power of the Holy Ghost in our midst. Absolutely you do. And yet they're missing something. I remember a long, long time ago, a lady I worked with, she wanted me to go to church. There was a church in her area is out by Waverly or New Johnsville or something. They were having some kind of a revival or something. It wasn't her church, but she said she went to this church like on Friday night or Thursday night. She said, hey, you need to come out here. We'll go on Saturday night. I don't remember. Anyways. So I said, sure, I'll go with you. So we went to church, and they're having this revival, and this visiting minister was there, and he was anointed. And the next morning, I was supposed to go preach at Elkton. And Sunday morning, I was going to preach at Elkton. So it was a long time ago, obviously. And after he'd done preaching, he started praying for people. He said, someone to be prayed for, they come up. He was standing out here. He put his hand out. He'd pray for them, and they'd fall out. They hit the floor. He'd pray for someone else, they'd hit the floor. He'd pray for someone else, they'd hit the floor, just back on their back, just laying out there. Just one after the other. Some of the people, he'd pray for them, and they start dancing. They start jerking, all this kind of stuff. Very anointed. I was sitting about where Sister Mina is in the church, and he came walking back. He looked at me. He said, do you need something to be prayed for? I said, no, I'm good. He said, you're sure? I said, yeah. He said, okay. Very anointed. Now, here's what I want to tell you about this. I had already studied. I knew what I was going to preach the next morning in Elkton. He preached the exact sermon that night that I was planning on preaching the next day. Exactly. Blew my mind. He wasn't a message believer. Those women weren't dressed holy. But he had the same thing. So that gift, he was gifted, and he had that same gift, had channeled into the same place and got the same spirit, the same message I was going to preach. See, you can preach exactly right. You can preach so no one can tell the difference, but by their fruits, you know. Because the best they can produce is a lukewarm, good guy kind of ministry. We're good, but it's never going to get there. And here's one of the big differences. You've heard many message preachers, and they get up here and they just lay down the law. They're just preaching hard, and they're just really drilling it. And people are like, oh, that's right, and they love that kind of preaching. People do. Because see what they're doing, they're preaching to your flesh realm. And they're telling you need to stop doing this and you need to stop doing that because you know you're doing something wrong. And a word comes in, it convicts you, and you repent and you cry and you feel the guilt leave. And it's great. You're re-sanctified and all that's gone. You know you're forgiven. You think everything's under the blood, and by you can just feel so light. It's a good thing. We need that. But if that ministry don't go past your flesh and get down where the idols are, you ain't never going to be born again. Because the idols are like keeping you from being born again, not this flesh. The idols is where the word comes and you stub up again and say, oh, I don't know about that now. Now you're starting to meddle now. You need to quit meddling with me. Now I'm living a good life and I'm a good person and I go to church and I pay my tithes and I do everything I'm supposed to do. You just need to stay out of my personal life. Down where the idols are. Because see, you can preach this and preach it hard, and boy, you can look at a church full of messy believers. They look good, they look holy, and everyone's dressed in the right way, and everyone sings good, and it's wonderful. And the preacher just lay down the law of how you're supposed to dress and how you're supposed to do this and how you're supposed to follow these rules. But when he starts getting down there and say, but listen, your mind is wrong. You have idols. You think more of your family. You think more of your money. You think more of your position in the church. And you're not going to let yourself be humiliated and embarrassed because you got too much pride. There, that's when that ministry stops, because he can't do that because he thinks your popularity, his own popularity, your opinion means more to him than your soul. Because he is driven by an old nature. His nature is still old, so he is that old thing, and so he is still centered on what he wants. You have to have a changed nature. You have to have the nature of Christ in you for you to come out there and tell the people what they need to hear, no matter how it makes them feel. And all they'll preach it hard, like it's really hard. It's just chewing up your old flesh. That don't matter. Of course, it makes you feel good. People love that kind of religion. But when it gets down inside something deeper in there where it starts churning things up that you don't want to mess with, then people get mad. I've heard people say stuff like this: man, you can't preach it too hard for me. Lay it on me, minister. Okay, let me take you out in the parking lot and give me a switch and let me start whipping your flesh and see if you're going to say, lay it on me. See, that ain't what it is. It's when you get in there, the Holy Spirit starts discerning the thoughts between your spirit and your soul and find out what's really there. People start squirming. They get mad. And a lot of them won't take it and they'll walk out. So why are you all still here? Huh? What does that speak of? It speaks of a different race. It speaks of a race that'll sit there and take it. It speaks of a race that'll say, you know what? No matter what it takes, you can humiliate me. You can expose me in front of the whole church. You can do whatever you want, but I'm going to have eternal life. You can't take Christ from me. This is more important than anything else the world can offer, and I'm going to have it. Because he said I could. There's something in here that says I'm going into rapture. You're a different race. You don't need to listen to that. You don't need to have that kind of preaching. You don't need to be embarrassed in front of everybody. And you sit there and you do it anyways. Because something's more important than your feelings and your pride and everything else. God could have chose to... I'm sorry, let me continue with this. He said, if he's a sinner, he thinks sin is good, the pleasures of life, such as living in the world. And when the church stands up and condemns that thing, it looks like a hideous animal to him. He said, why do we want to go to that church when you had to put up with that kind of preaching? He said, but if he only knows it's God's only way of bringing to salvation, expressing the word of God by the lips of his servant. It's God's only way of bringing to salvation, expressing the word of God by the lips of his servants. He said God could have chose to preach the gospel by the sun, by the moon, by the stars, by the wind, by his nature, but he chose man to preach the gospel, and that's where the voice of God will come from. You can judge the voice according to the word it expresses. If I could come up here and just lay into you and just chew you out, you need to quit watching TV. You need to quit reading those dirty magazines. You need to quit doing this, and you need to quit drinking or whatever, and you need to quit talking about your neighbor, and you need to quit lying, and you need to quit whatever. I can come up with a list of things a mile long, and every time I come up and just beat you down. And that's very popular preaching with a lot of people, because it makes you feel that God cares and he's forgiven you, and you just feel all scoured out. But God don't leave you there. Not here, he doesn't. He said, judge the voice according to the word it expresses. And when the word comes and exposes the devil working in us, the spirits, if you're just fighting against your flesh, you're going to fight all day. But what you need to do is expose the spirit so you can overcome the spirit. That's what it is about. We're fighting spirits. If Satan can just keep you focused on the mistakes you make with this flesh, go find another church to sit under, because in here, your spirits are going to be exposed. He said, if it's the true word, then God's duty bound to back that word up and vindicate it and make it truth, because he promised to do it. He said to the Jews one day, who can accuse me of sin? Now, sin is unbelief. He said, who can point your finger to me and say, I haven't fulfilled every word that was written of me? That's what it is. Can you stand here and say, who can accuse me of sin? Well, Brother Phil, I make mistakes all the time. Not what he's talking about. What made him sinless is because he was fulfilling the word for his day. Oh, that's good. That's what made him sinless. Now, he didn't make mistakes, obviously, because he had to be the perfect sacrifice. But you and I can have the same testimony. Who can convince me of sin? Why? Because I am currently fulfilling the word that God has given me to fulfill. But you make mistakes, Brother Phil. Stop it. That's not the point. All Satan is doing is keeping you focused on your flesh. Are you currently walking in the word that God asked you to walk in for this day? Do you see Christ manifesting the word? He said, I don't know about that, Brother Phil. Then listen to what your prophet said. He said, would not it be a glorious thing this morning, my brother and sister, if the church of the living God could stand and say, who can accuse me of sin? This is what he said. He said, this is what we need to be. We need to be able to stand there and say the same thing. Every gift that God promised in the Bible and everything he promised would be done, it's operating right among us today. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Well, that was in 1963, Brother Phil. All right. Are you trying to fulfill 1963 word? Or are you trying to fulfill 2018 word? It's happening somewhere in this world, folks. The bride is currently doing this somewhere in this world. I happen to think some of it's right here. He said the denomination thoughts would move plumb out of existence when we can see God speaking for himself. It's up to God to make this happen, folks. It's not us out here trying to produce something. It's God speaking, and we just believe it and we walk in it. So many people are looking for something different. No one wants to die. No one wants to be lost. Everyone wants to be in the presence of God. I do. You do. Everybody does. But we're not willing to come the way that God has provided for us to come. See, that's what makes it so much different. God has a provided way, but we don't want to come that way. Why? First of all, it's too simple. Second of all, it kills your pride. It kills your old nature. You have to come his way, and no human being wants to come that way. But when something inside of you gets so thirsty for God, then you're willing to lay it down and say, I got to have you anyways. He says, okay, now that's what I'm looking for. That's all it is. That's what makes you different. I am convinced, I've said this before, I am convinced that people who have the seed of God in them don't understand other people. Because I look at people and say, how can you walk away from something that you know is true, and yet they do it? How could you do that? How can you walk away knowing I walked away from God, but I got to have my way instead? I can't fathom that. Now, I'm not that we don't do it. I mean, we're tempted all the time. There's something inside you holds you. Something inside says, you're not going anywhere, Phil. I don't care if it's tearing you up and down and ripping you apart. You know you're not going anywhere. It holds you. It's a hold. It's a tie post. Because God has confirmed this truth. He has confirmed his word. He says, I just want you to keep working what I have spoken. He takes the word and he speaks it and he confirms it. And all he says, will you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Okay. And then Satan comes with all his angels of light. He starts hammering at you. You don't have to do that. You don't have to believe that. And when it's coming over the pulpit, what are the people going to do? When people walk away and sit under that situation knowing it's wrong, and he's preaching this over the pulpit, Satan, didn't he say that? He sends his ministers as ministers of light, ministers of righteousness, and they're preaching the message out of the pulpit. And people, knowing they walked away from Christ, still sitting under that. How do they do that? Different race. It's a different race. That's all I can tell you. Keep moving here. They don't want it God's way. He said, they say days of miracles is past. He said, let them prove it. People, message believers, don't say that anymore. They don't say the days of miracles are past. You know what they say? What did God do through Brother Branham? They had to keep looking back there to see what God did through Brother Branham to prove that they're right. They had to keep looking back for the vindication 50 or 60 years ago to prove that they're right today. Brother and sister, if that's what you're doing, you're saying the days of miracles are past. It's the same spirit. Because God's fulfilling his word right now today. He said, I'll give you an everlasting sign, a super sign. Now, he could have come in an angel. He could have come whatever he wished to, but he chose to come as Abraham's seed. Abraham's super seed. That's right. The way he chose to come to show in this last day, God super signs a super race. That super race wasn't just Brother Branham, folks. It was the bride. Brother Branham came to bring a message that will produce a super race. That's what it was for. He wasn't the main thing. I know that sounds horrible, but he wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose was to get us. God sent a prophet to get a bride. He didn't send a prophet so he could have a prophet. He got to send a prophet so he could get a bride. He said, God's super sign, a super race. Listen to this. Not what you call a super race, but what God calls super race. There's the kicker. It's not what they wanted. He wasn't the super race they wanted, and we're not the super race they want. They want God, and they want to be saved, but they don't want to come God's way because his super race is humble. It's too humble. And that's why message believers walk right over the top and never see what's going on because their eyes are on something great. You know what? One day we're going to have this, and one day this is going to happen, and one day we're going to do this, and God did this through the prophet, and one day we're going to do this, and the super race is being grown right around them. We're being raised up. The bride is standing up. She's speaking. She's walking. She's talking. Exactly what the word prophesied. It's not what they call a super race, but what God calls a super race. Why are we a super race? Because what? They got supernatural power with supernatural signs through a supernatural belief and a supernatural word from a supernatural God. It's all supernatural. Everything we do is supernatural. And anytime you start doing it in your own natural way, you are stopped being the super race. You become a natural race again. When you go out and try and produce yourself a holiness and produce yourself a bride or do something like that, you're no longer working in a supernatural realm. Because the word comes supernaturally spoken to you, and you know what God was speaking it to, and then you take that and you believe it with the supernatural faith that God gave to you, and you walk in that until supernatural you become Christ on earth. It's true. He said, they that know their God shall do exploits, great exploits, and show supernatural signs of people, Abraham's seed, a sign of the supernatural Christ risen from the dead supernaturally. Well, Brother Phil, when I see that, open your eyes, folks, it's happening. It's happening all around us, right now. Right now. What are you looking for? That's the whole question.
Excuse me.
God gave the promises. And when God gave the promise to Abraham, he said he would possess the gate of his enemy. He said, so Shamgar, believe that. You remember Shamgar. He's actually talking about Shamgar. Shamgar, he was out there and he was doing his farming. And the Philistines, whoever it was, they'd come every year and they'd take all their crops. And so they were half starving all winter long. And one time Shamgar saw them coming. He said, I've just had enough of this. I'm a child of God, and here comes the enemy, and my kids are going to be starving to death again. So he took that ox goat, and he just lit into them. He killed however many hundreds of them with just an old stick with a spike on the end. He said he would possess the gates of his enemy. Shamgar believed that. He looked at the odds against him. He said, and look at the odds against him. Shamgar became part of a super race because he took God out of his word and he started acting like a superman. See, if that's the way God always did it, so we would feel like a superman, so we could say, look what God done, I just killed all these enemies. See, we would like that a little bit more. But God does it in such a way that the enemy you're destroying is your own stuff. Your enemy is yourself, and you're destroying the hold Satan has over you. And you take the word like Shamgar and took him at his word, and you start slaying these demons. You start slaying, destroying, and driving out the spirits that are controlling you. They got these strongholds in your spirit realm, and you start going in there. You take the word, and you start hammering on those strongholds, and no one can see it, so it doesn't look very good, and so you don't feel like you're anything, and no one can give you any, like, wow, Brother Paul, you're sure a mighty, mighty warrior. Look at you, Will. I never sit. Wow, look at you. But we just sit here in our seats and we say amen and we walk out of here just so humble. And no one sees it and no one gets any glory except Jesus Christ, because it's between you and him. If no one else sees in the whole church, you know what's happening.
Hallelujah.
You know what's going on. Boy, that's exciting. I like that. Because that's the battle that's going on. Because what's happened? Remember when the seventh seal was open? Silence. Shh.
Hallelujah.
But inside of you, there's a war raging, and you are overcoming. And you are growing, and you are seeing the super race happening in you, and you say, look at what Christ is doing in me. Can you see it? Someone says, I don't see nothing. They don't have eyes to see is the problem. They're still looking at your flesh, but you see something else happening. Shamgar believed it. He believed that he's going to possess the gates of his enemy. He said, look at the odds against him. But listen to this. He said, God only needs one man. Over the years, I've seen God take somebody in here and do a work in their life, and it affects the whole church. Then he takes someone else and does a work in their life. It affects the whole church. Satan does the same thing. Satan takes one person, gets them in his hands, and affects the whole church. He takes someone else, and it affects the whole church. And then God steps up and said, not anymore. You're not going to bring that spirit in here. You're not going to defile this church anymore. And that person walks out for the last time. Boy, it's good to be on the winning side, isn't it? All God's asking us to do, listen, we know the end from the beginning. We know we already won. We know that we're going in the rapture. We know that we get eternal life. We know these things. But yet that battle is so hard that Satan gets us right to the point of, are you sure? Oh, my, I don't know about that. And he brings these thoughts and these doubts and these fears, and we battle with them because he's so convincing. If we just keep focus on the end, like he said we win, all we're doing here is playing out the drama that he has ordained for you to play out. Walk this life, get eternal life, and go home. But Satan gets us all tore up about all this other junk because he's so good at it. Get to the place like Shamgar and you say, I am tired of getting kicked around. I am sick of getting kicked around by the devil, by this spirit, by this and by that. Just say, I've had enough. Now, if you try to do that on your own, he's going to kick you in the teeth and laugh at you as you roll down the hill. I'm talking about Satan is. But when you take God at his word, because God speaks and said, why don't you quit getting kicked around? You say, okay, I will. And then you go under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit because the word he gave you. Then you watch what happens. He says he needs one man in his hand. Just let him get one man in his hand. The world will think he's crazy. That's the problem. We don't want people to think we're crazy. We want people to think nice of us. I'm trying to resist saying something. The world, hang on, I gotta get my head off. The world will think he's crazy, but he will drive home the gospel. I'm gonna have to say, I'm sorry, David. Look, what has God done through David? The people see David over the years, they think he's crazy. And what has it done? David has had to humble himself and be led by the Holy Spirit to make say all kinds of things. That there have been tons and tons and dozens of message believers totally grieved by the way David acts. They think he's crazy. And they said over the years, and they said it to me, they said it to Brother Jerry, they said it to me, why don't you do something about David? He's crazy. He's grieving the Holy Spirit. He's doing this. He's making people uncomfortable. He's doing all this stuff. They think he's crazy. And Brother Jerry will never call him down. What's wrong with Brother Jerry? Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. What was it for? God was using him to poke, to expose that religious demon that says, I want to be comfortable in church. I don't want this kind of thing going on. Now, I tried to resist saying that, but I couldn't help it. It's God's church. He does what he wants. David, don't sit back there and say, okay, I'm going to wait until the right moment. I'm going to jump up and just wreak havoc around here. It's not the way it works. I've told you this before. Let me tell you again. I don't know why you're going on this. This group hasn't had a problem with this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Long, long time ago, way before David was born again, we were both just, David and I never sit together in church. It happened one time that I know of. And we were sitting probably right here, and for whatever reason, David came up and sat beside me. I was there, and he was there. Never had happened before, never happened since. After service, we were singing. David left to go to the bathroom. And I was standing right here, and I had such a desire to dance. I said, I'm not going to be able to hold myself. I got to get out in the aisle. And about that time, David comes walking back up here. He stands up beside me. He's like here about 2 seconds, and boom, he takes off. And that spirit of dance left me and jumped on him. I said, oh, I know why he acts the way he does now. He can't help it. And since that point, since that time, I understand. I said, I don't care what anybody says. I'm not going to try to call that down because that was the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God wants us to look crazy because we're a different race. The world will think he's crazy, but he will drive home the gospel. How many people think Brother Jerry's crazy for the stuff he preaches, for how he does things here? Because we could have a big church, but no, we don't have a big church because the way Brother Jerry runs the church, if Brother Jerry would just run the church the way other ministers run it, we have a bunch of people here. No, he got to do it the way God leads him to. He said he would drive home the gospel when he's thoroughly convinced that Jesus Christ remains the same yesterday and today and forever. Under anything else, he will stand true and go on because he's thoroughly convinced that God is God. He said if he ever was God, he's still God. If he isn't the God he was, he never was God. That's right. He's infinite God, the all-powerful, almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, infinite. Oh my, he's God. Brother Brandon, he just got caught up. He says he's everything. Can't we trust him? Can't we believe him? We know the word is true, and he's given us the word. If we will just continue to walk, he's going to take care of everything. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, this is that. Brother Branham said, if this isn't that, I'll just keep this till that comes. Amen. Why? What are you talking about, Phil? I'm talking about God has led me in my life, just like he can see in your life. He has led you one step at a time, and he doesn't want you to figure it out. He doesn't want you to get ahead of him or get behind of him. Like, he wants you to just walk right where he puts you, and he will take care of you. I look back, I sat in that pond church for all those years, and I look back and say, what was going on? But I can see this. God was leading me, and I wanted to leave, and I wanted to do this, and he kept me there, and he kept me there. And some of you can say the same thing, because he did the same thing for you. And if you left, he brought you back, and here you are, and you're going forward, and all he says is, this is that. And if it isn't that, keep walking, you'll get to it. But if you go get pulled aside by some enticing spirit or some enticing preacher, I have people say, Brother Phil, we really feel you need to come and sojourn with us for a while at our church. Devil. Brother Phil, we think we should do this. Brother Phil, you and some of you have heard the same thing. What, you couldn't do this. Why don't you come go to church over here? Brother Jim can tell you he's been hounded by all kinds of people. Why don't you come to Nutbush? Why don't you come to Arkansas? You need to do this. You need to do that. Well, here he sits. Just keep walking where God has you walking. And if he needs you to go someplace, he'll lead you that way. Don't go do something on your own. This is that. This is what Brother Brandon was preaching about. This is why he came. This was the message for us, so we could have this. You say, Brother Phil, are you kidding me? We got a dozen people sitting here. This is that. This is that, because it's done in secret. It's secret. It's quiet. The world looks at us and say, there's nothing going on here. But you know better. Why? Because you're a different race. You're a superman. You're a superwoman. You feel like it? Neither do I. Can I tell you something? Let me just I'll be honest with you for once. Standing back there just while you're singing, I'm just getting ready, I was thinking, I have hardly ever felt less anointed in my life. If I go like preach like this, it's just going to, I have nothing to say. And so I just put in God's hand. You come out here, and here he is. It's amazing. He's good. He's taking care of us. It's not what I'm thinking or what I'm trying to do or you trying to do. It's just put it in God's hand. You're a super person. You're a different race. You have different tastes. You have different culture. You have different desires. When I was first coming to church here, and I was, you know, reading the message, listening to tapes, and you find out this amazing thing called being sealed until the day of redemption. I thought, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, I can be sealed by the Holy Ghost and never be lost. Guaranteed. Boy, that sounded good. And I think, man, I'm gonna get sealed by the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then I'm just go live my life and not, I'm going to heaven. It's not the way it works. He seals you away and he puts you in a battle and you're fighting tooth and nail to keep walking forward exactly how he told you to do. And that's where we're at tonight. This is that. This is what the prophet spoke of. This is the bride. This is the super race. Just go ahead and admit it. Well, Brother Phil, I don't know if, you know, if I see something more. If you wait to see something more, you're not seeing what he's doing now. It probably ain't going to happen, folks. Admit what he's doing now. Confess what he's doing now. But when I feel better, Brother Phil. Sounds like you need a spanking. If you're not willing to confess God's word now just because you don't feel like it, you need a chastening. You got some spirit in there in your spirit realm, and it's keeping you from confessing the word, what God is doing. But you get that some other time. Let's stand. God bless you this evening. Friends, it's good to be here. It's good to have you. Amen. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. Pressing on. Sometimes it's hard to come to church on Thursday, isn't it? Tired. Brother Paul, you're retired. You don't get tired anymore. I took a nap. That's cheating. Amen. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come tonight and speak to us, Lord. We just let the word have an effect. Lord, help us to walk in faith, believing what you said, believing what you said about what your thoughts are about us. Lord, help us just to press on this battle that you've given us. Meet each need we have, Lord, and we release ourselves to you. We give you our thoughts and our desires and our ambitions, our pride. We just give it all to you that you can take us and shape us into what you want us to be. We ask this in your name, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord, as we go home. And Lord, bring us back to church Sunday ready to hear from you again. We ask this in your name. Amen. I want to sing that little chorus, glory, glory, hallelujah, since the lamb I burned down. I'll see you Sunday morning. God bless you.